You might like to turn in your Bible for a moment, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 18. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence, looking to you to deal with us according to your grace. We think of the sick and those that are away and all that you're doing and not doing. Thank you very much. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John in chapter 13, we're in the upper room. We're only a few hours away from the trial and crucifixion hours. And so now, having said that and keeping that in mind, in the upper room, our Lord is going to do something to help the disciples, to help them. Now, you need some background to it in order to enjoy that particular, better understand that particular place. Now, so 6 months earlier, an incident took place. And then just before the Lord's Supper, before the upper room, an incident repeated itself. It did it again. Now, and so we want to go back because God is going to address that problem specifically. Now, so here we share together. Remember now the interesting thing they have in John chapter 13. They've been encouraged. Remember, Thomas said before they crossed the Jordan, we're all going to go across the Jordan and die with our Lord. But that sort of has got smoothed out a bit because of those hours in and out of the temple before the upper room when everything was going so well and so normal. God was in control. God was doing what he did. And all the bad guys couldn't do anything. So they were quite comfortable there. Why would they ever repeat it again? Because they got very comfortable, and they forgot all about his death, his cross. They forgot that. Now, going back 6 months earlier, which is what we did last time, and in chapter 18 of Gospel of Matthew, remember now the incident, it's in Luke and in Mark. And in the process, we shared together that the Lord Jesus called. Remember their problem. Their problem is, who is greatest among us? Now, they've been with the Lord. He is understood to be the Messiah. He's understood to be the King. Herod's there. Pontius Pilate is there. And the people were looking to overcome the Roman power, etc. But with all of that, there was the fragrance, the understanding, the momentum. The King is here. The King has rode in Matthew 21 into the city, over 2.5 million people there, into the city, and crying, Hosanna, and the King. So it's very, very upbeat. And therefore, if you were part of that group for 3 1/3 years or so, you're part of the group, what are you going to do? Well, you're looking for when the King takes over his throne, takes over Rome, takes over everybody, then you guys are in the inn. And so there's automatically the little heart mind works. We're looking for position. What's going to happen when he's King? What are we going to be doing then? Our position, our power, our privileges? What are we going to have? What are the benefits? And therefore, you would understand the mind and the going back and forth with each other about these things. And Judas is there to encourage that whole movement. Thus, chapter 18, we shared together, they wanted to know, verse 1, who is the greatest among us? Who's going to be top dog? Who's going to be king of the mountain? Who's going to have the bestest place? And what place are we going to have in the light of someone else having the best place? So that's the movement. Pride, P-R-I-D-E, pride, the flesh, Mark chapter 7. The flesh, pride, God hates pride. These six things and seven does God hate, pride one of them. What's pride do? Pride pushes flesh upward, gives us an exaltation that we do not, should not have, do not merit, can never earn, and will never have it. But pride gives us a false impression of ourself, of our world, etc. Pride, our thinking, feeling, etc. Now, having said that, so here they want to know who's going to be the greatest. And then he said, verse 2, he took a little child. Now, the little child, Mark and Luke, you can put them all together, and the little child comes. He calls the little child, and a little child comes, and he puts him in his arms, and puts him right in his arm. The little child just comes. Now, what is a little child? Well, a little child is a little child, and they certainly would sense safety and God, which they did. And the little child came. The little child came. Now, what do we know? Well, we know Romans 1, 18, 19, 25, all the way, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And we've shared together 5,000 times that remember now, everyone knows God to start with. There's never a problem with God. They don't believe in idols. They don't believe in totem poles. They don't believe in anything. They understand God. You're born. Who said, and you read Romans 1, 18, 19, 20, 21, God helps them know. So it isn't, no one told them anything. No one needs to tell them anything. God personally tells them. He is their creator. He personally tells them. So there's no question about nothing to do with that. So little child, very conscious of God, and the Lord, God, calls him, and the little child's going to come. Come without debate, without discussion. The little child just comes. Wow, to him. Now he uses that. What is the problem with pride? Pride makes us sin, Genesis 2, 3, makes us try to be something we are. You can be, said the devil, you can be as God, knowing good and evil. Well, that's pride. We can be like God, lifted up, like God. That's what we could be. Now, so God, you're dealing with that because they want to know who's the greatest, and that's all about pride. Pride, pompous pride. So now, here they are, and the little child is there. Now the Lord's going to help them with this. And I just want to do that because, quickly. Verse 2. And Jesus called the little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, the word "convert" to turn around, to go from one direction to another direction, to turn around, to be your one kind of attitude thinking, change it and be another, be different. You need to be how different? You need to turn around, you're trying to be pompous adults, proud. You need to be as little children. This little child is setting the example for you. No debate, no dialogue, no discussion. They understand who I am. They understand why they're on planet Earth. They understand all of these wonderful things. Why am I here? Where am I going? How come everything? And the answer to all those wonderful, awesome questions that are never answered apart from God. Now, so here they are, and they needed to come and be converted. They needed to be converted, and verse 3, and become as little children. If you don't be, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So God, you got to be said, told them, frankly, you can't get in. You'll never get there unless you become a little child. You need to become a little child. Therefore, you need to become like that, and you aren't. You lost that. It doesn't say to be a child, be like a child. You lose it. We lose automatically, going backwards. We have a sense of God. We're born with it. We never have to get tied up in idols or stupidity or anything else. Religion, no, there's a wonderful God. And when we understand that and we grow, what are we supposed to have happen? Romans 18, 1 and 18. We're supposed to grow and develop. And we develop in our understanding and our relationship to Almighty God who created us. So that we're always God conscious, always dependent. There's no other God, no other Savior anywhere in forever. You're the only God and the only Savior in whose presence we sit. So God, there's nowhere else to go, and we're going to come dependent and understandably to you. Why not? You're our God. You're God. Hang on. You're God. Why wouldn't we? Now, and you remember now, if you read in John 6, 37, all that come to me, what? I will in no wise, positively, will not cast out. What did you do to the little child? He said to the child, come. Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. Come. They aren't coming. They're debating about position, power, and they aren't exercising their relationship, a proper relationship to Almighty God. They aren't doing that. Now, so thus, pride, they need to turn around. They need to become little children. And, in verse 4, whoso there henceforth shall humble himself as unto this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So you're talking about greatness. God said, I'm going to use your same word, greatness, and you're going to be great in the kingdom of heaven. You've got to humble yourself. Low, to drop down low, to submit, to drop down low. Humble yourself as a little child. You're proud. Eat humble pie. Go down. Stop being up in the air with everything. Humble. You got to become humbled. You want a big shot. You're just a little pimpsqueak. just little. So, hey, recognize God is God, and you're his creation, and he loves you and died for you, etc., and to respond to him. Humble. And whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatness in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Verse 5. And whoso shall receive one such little one in my name receiveth me. So now he changes. A, you've got to be a little child, like in your heart, dependent, wonderfully, conscious, God conscious, coming to God as it normally and naturally should be understood in the light of his wonderful creative purpose. Come to God. Now, so here's the disciples getting that part of it. And now he turns it around. He said, now, here's this little child. Here's this little child. Now, in verse 5, whoso shall receive one little child in my name. So now, the little child, Peter, James, John, I want you to go and have make believe you're there, using it. And the little child, you call the little child to you. Little child's on my lap, I'm going to let him go. I just don't know this. And the little child let go, and now you call him to you. Tell the little child to come to you. Let the little child come to you. Okay? Verse 5. And in my name. Why? What's the basis of having the little child come? Because you want to give him a cookie and hot chocolate? Nope. You're going to do it in my name because of who I am, on the basis of who I am, because I am who I am. That's why you're going to receive that little child in my name, you're going to do so. And when you receive him, and by the way, I need to pick up quickly before I leave it here. Now, in my name, and slide down to verse 6. But whoso shall offend, be a stumbling block, to one of these little ones which believe in me, they believe. And God, remember we shared that in verse 10, the little ones that believe, down in verse 14, even so is it the will of your Father which is in heaven that not one of these little ones should perish. No one's going to perish. Nope, not one of the, they're believing. Now, Peter, James, and John, why should you receive the child like the Lord did? Because that little child is going to come to you because I am in you and I want them saved. And if they're saved and you're saved, do you understand? We have a unique oneness when they come. I'm working on that little child's life. I'm working on your life. I'm the same God, the same Lord, the same love, same life. And they're there together like that. They're together. Do you understand? When you receive the little child, I'm there. I'm convicting him. I'm saving him. I have saved him. Receive him. How could you reject him? To reject him is to reject me. You can't do that. Now, the whole system today is not very good to show that, to say the least. But that's what it is. If you love me, love the brethren. That's what you have to do. You don't have any choice. That's what's required. Now, so in the light of that, let me just add one other piece. Over to the Gospel of Luke, which is the sequel to this, or connected to it. The Gospel of Luke. And in chapter 9, may I pick up, please, in verse 47. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him. And he said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receives him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. I want you to understand, I'm in that little child. I want that little child saved. I died for that little child. Before anything was ever created, the child was ever born. I knew the child. I died from him in eternity past. I calculated to die. I'd create and I would redeem. I did that. So you understand, the little child, the little persons, people, I died for them. I want them to come to me like a little child. They lost it. Remember, they all know, little child all know. Are you exercising what you know as a little child? No, we get caught up in the adult world very quickly and we lose it. And our pride. Now, God, what are you saying? Well, God said, listen, I'm involved. And you're representing me. And when you come to me in that as a little child, and understand that as you come to me, so everyone else comes. And that's because I'm drawing them, I'm saving them, the little child which believes, you're in the same package. So when you receive the little child in my name, you receive me. When you receive me, you receive my Father. You wanted my Father, and you wanted me when you took that little child. So God, I got it. A little bit, I got it. Now, disciples, you have to learn. You don't want to be greatest, but you can't be because you can't get into heaven on that term. You know, God isn't going to receive you unless you come as a little child. He created you. Now, having said that little bit, over in the light, before you do that, remember in the process here that God, what are you looking for, applying it? God, you want a childlike dependence on who you are. That's right. And I want you to be careful, to be careless in the light of God's caring. I want you to be carefully careless in the light of God's caring. Little children, just trust me with all their heart. That's what I want. You got to come as a little child. You're not going to solve the world's problems. You aren't going to do that. So we need to come thankfully, with thanksgiving, as little child to come. What do little children come with? They couldn't tell you. They don't even know these words. But they come with it. Confidence. Mm-hmm. They're comfortable. Confident, comfortable. They are. And are they cautious? Or normally? But when they come to God, are they conscious? No, caution? No caution there. No, free, unhindered come with great commitment. There's not even a debate. The little child just comes and jumps in your lap. Wow. That's why I want you to be a little child. Apart from that, your pride takes all of those wonderful truths away from you. And you don't have them. I'm your Father. I'm in charge, etc. Now, and having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to Luke and chapter 22. And in Luke and chapter 22, if I can get there. And may I pick up, please, in verse 24. And there was also, now remember we went in Luke chapter 9. Now we're going to add 6 months' time, approximately. We're going to slide right up to the upper room right now. We're going to go right to the upper room, period. John chapter 13. So now you're going to do it again after, as we shared. You just crossed the river. You're all going to go die. That's what Thomas said, and he was not wrong in thinking that. Now you guys have forgot everything, and you're doing the same thing as if everything's going to be wonderful. Our Lord understands what? I'm going to be crucified. Do they understand that? Nope. They haven't got it yet. Nope. So therefore, you're going to do it all over again. Just before you wash their feet. That's right. Now, chapter 22, verse 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship, authority, rule over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. So what do we know? Well, here we are looking, and there are all kinds of authority they're going to have. They have this authority, power, positions, kings, rulers, potentates. They got all kinds of power, and they have that. Now, and they exercise that power. They exercise it. And they're given the name benefactors, the Caesars were called benefactors. Some Egyptian kings were called benefactors to well-giving, well-doing. We provide say it another way, our modern term. The government will take care of you. The government will take care of you. Give us everything. You just trust us and we'll take care of you. Benefactors. Okay. Now, and in the light of that, so here they are, and they want to be greatest. Now, the Lord's telling them an illustration. Here are these great people, kings and rulers, etc., and they all want to be benefactors. They want to say we have control, we take care of people, etc., etc., etc. Now, verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me, oh, hold it now. Did I do that right? What happened? Don't go where I was. My Bible slid back to chapter 9 because I said 6 months earlier. And 6 months earlier says move. And I moved back 6 months. That's what I did. So now I got to go 6 months forward. Chapter 22. Now remember, they exercise authority, verse 25, 22, 25. They exercise this authority, and they are called benefactors, people take care of everybody. That's what they do. And that's what they think that you do. But you don't want to be like them. They abuse that. They don't do that at all. You know, here's Caesar, here's Pontius Pilate, here's Herod, here's all the kings, rulers of the world. What do you know about them? They all do what they do for power, position, prestige, privilege. That's what they do. They do that. Are they interested in helping people, little children? No, they aren't interested in helping little children to grow and to become all that God meant them to be. No, not at all. Therefore, in verse 26, that you shall not be so, don't be like them. Don't be like them. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief among you, as he that serve. So two things. We already know about the child, got to come as a child. And now you're going to add, God, don't be, you're going to come now as the younger. Younger, the youngest, younger. It's the opposite of being older. Position, power, honor, you're the youngest one, not the oldest one. The oldest one has priority in place. So God, to say it another way, I don't want you to, don't look at being great, look at being small. Don't look at being high, look at being low. Don't look at being senior, the legitimate one. Be a junior. Be younger. Be in the bottom. I don't want you to do that. You got to be like that. Childlike. Younger. I want you to be like that. And you have to be like that. I don't want you to be like the kings, the rulers. I don't want you to do that. And in verse 26, and he is chief, he that is chief, ruler, authority, to lead, the leader, the chief, the ruler, the one who leads, let him lead. He, the chief, is among you, let him serve. So God, we're looking, and you're going to say, well, let him serve. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, sitting there, and I want you to know that I'm going to, the chief among you, and they're going to sit, and you're going to sit and be as a servant, as a younger, as a child. That's what I'm looking for. In my presence, in my name, you serve me, the living and only God. Now, and you serve me. Now, sliding over if I can, keeping that in mind, over if you would please, John and chapter 12. Gospel of John and chapter 12, remember. Our Lord said it clearly. You're going to have to be a serve. That's what I want. I want you to serve. the aristocracy of humility. Kingdom, the kingdom, heaven, has a whole different set of rules, a whole different standard than earth does. And you need to understand that. You want to be great in my kingdom. It's a whole nother way of life. It isn't like here. It isn't like here at all. Now, so chapter 12, if I can, and in verse 26. Now remember to serve, the word serve is used over and over, and it means to be in attendance, to come along and help, to aid, to serve. It's used of the word deacon, to wait on tables, to serve. Serve. You're serving the will, the need of somebody, serving it. Servant. You need to be a server, a servant. That's right. In my kingdom. And chapter 12, you'll recall, and picking up if I can in verse 26. If any man serve me, there's your little word, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So it's used three times, serve, to serve, to serve, to serve. If you're going to serve me, you're going to follow me. And that where I am, my servant is. Wherever I am, my servant is. You serve me. You do it in my name. I'm out doing, reaching, caring, moving about in the world. Right now, I'm looking to bring people to Christ. I'm seeking to bring them to understand. Now, I want you to know, I want you to be a little child to me, and then you're dependent on me to do what I do, the way I do it. And then you're going to go and turn around, because as my Father sent me, so send I you. I'm using you in your heart. I'm using you to bear witness to who I am, the resurrected life, my resurrected wonderful life in you, walking in newness of life. That life is to be evidenced, and people are going to see and catch not your talent and not your anything. They're going to catch Christ in you that has brought about a change. You're not the same. And it isn't a person inviting another person to do something, to believe what I believe. No. Believing doesn't save anybody. God does. And you can put your belief any old place you want. We are believers. We're to be believers. And we put our belief in the person of Jesus Christ. And in his name, we come. We don't come in my name. I don't come in Rosicrucianism or any other cult or anything. I come in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If any man, think of 1 Peter 3:15, if any man ask a reason of the hope that is within you, you're going to be able to say, listen, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, whom I am resting on believing. And then I'm telling you where I believe. Who I believe. Why is my belief different than your belief? Because I'm resting on the living and only God. And the little child convicted comes. We wouldn't reject them. No, they need to be saved. And we understand that. God died for them. Wonderfully so. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you wherever I am, there you're going to be also. So God, you're always there. Uh-huh. And who are we serving, God? You. At all times, a servant is with the master. And we're serving you, wherever. At work, home, eating lunch, whatever. We eat lunch and we do it with thanksgiving. Whatever you eat or drink, we're to do it what? To the glory of God. We're doing it. God and our whole world is to serve you. It's all about service because of you. And wherever we is, you is. We're part. God, we represent you. And the whole world needs to see what? Not us hotshots. No, they need to see you. We serve you. You can't be the greatest. You have to serve. Your assignment is to serve. In heaven, that's what everyone does. God the Father is served by God the Son in some awesome fashion, and God the Holy Spirit serves both of them. And when we get there, Lord willing, here and there, then we're going to go. If they're serving, boy, you bet your boots, we aren't walking around with little king's crowns, because what are we going to do with our king's crown? We're going to cast them at his feet. That's what we're going to do. There's only one king, only one Lord. And now, so God, you have to serve. Do you understand? And when you serve me, I want you to know my Father is honored. Remember Luke 9, when you receive me, you receive my Father also. You can't have me without my Father. When you serve me, you serve my Father. My Father will honor you as my servant. My servant. Wow. And let me back over to chapter 22 for a minute. Verse 27. 22:27. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, eating, or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, eating, sitting at the table? So who gets the credit? Well, the person sitting at the table and the person serving him is a servant. The person sitting at the table isn't a servant. He's being served. She's being served. That's right. That's right. Now, you know the rest of it. Chapter 27, verse the end. But I am among you as he that serves. The Lord Jesus said, I am serving. Now, if I'm serving, you surely understand you are serving. I'm serving. I'm serving the will of God the Father. I'm going to the cross in God's will. That's my assignment. And you guys are talking about being hotshots great. What's wrong with you? You don't understand the whole ball game. You don't understand. It's a wonderful aristocracy, aristocracy. I mean, two little words, best and rule. Is what the word, where's that word come from? Best rule. It's the people that are the nobility, the best rule, and the privilege of a people that are given a position of rule. The children of the king rule, don't they? The father rules, and the children of the king enjoy the rule of humility. You people that have been humbled, childlike, they rule. You want to be great? You have to serve. You have to serve. Now, having said that little bit, go with me over, please, to Ephesians chapter 4 for a minute. Ephesians chapter 4. And may I pick up the word that you're looking at, servant. And you'll see it in verse 12. For, remember the local church, purpose of the local church, for the perfecting, completing, finishing, making ready of the saints, the believers. What for? What are you going to get them ready for? For the ministry. The word ministry is servant, serve. What is the church doing? Getting the believers ready to serve. That's what it's doing. That's what it's supposed to do. to understand service. We serve. Greatest among you will be his servant. Well, now, and thus, and the result is for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. So it's all about building up believers, not outside the church, inside the church. That's where believers are built up, not outside. God uses the outside, but the inside the church, it's built up. They're believers, wonderfully, wonderfully believers, and exercised to be so. Over in 2 Corinthians, so it's a service. That's what you're prepared for, etc. And in chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, picking up, if I may, in verse 5, 3, 5, 2 Corinthians. Now that we are sufficient, efficient, able, sufficient, competent, we are sufficient, able, competent, of ourselves, not that we are, no, it's not about us, no, not pride, not greatness, no, of ourselves, to think anything as of ourselves, we're somebody, we're nobody, and we understand that. We aren't trying to be anybody. We're trying to just honor God who created us, loved us, and died for us. But, verse 4, 5, our sufficiency, our ability belongs to and comes from God. Verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers, able servants. He made us to be able to be good servants. If any man serve me, he will come to me and follow me. I'm serving, said the Lord. I'm serving the will of God. You're serving my will. So God, here we are looking, and God, who hath made us, verse 6, able, sufficient ministers, servants of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So God, it isn't trying to do it by the law. It's doing it by your wonderful grace. So God, here we are looking to you to deal with us. And God, that's what it is. So God, we nothing about us. No, it's all about you. In my name, do it. In my name. Don't do it because you're like the little child. Do it because of me. What you do is because of me. That governs what you do. Not because you feel something, want something, wish something, desire something, because our passions and compassions can very much be twisted and not right. Our passion is for God with all our heart. God, your will, your way, your honor, your glory, you be to me, you do what you do, not I do anything. So God, looking to you. Now, and in chapter 6, picking up, please, the thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, sliding down, if I can, verse 3. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. We don't want to have what we're doing. But in all things, verse 4, approving ourselves as the ministers, servants of God. And how are we doing so? In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, tumults, in labors, in watchings, and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. God, here we are doing. Why? We serve. We serve in the midst of the thick and thin of it. Everything may not be what it ought to be. But we're going to look to you and honor you because we're here. We serve. Our Lord Jesus Christ served in the most hostile environment. Who was happy with understanding any of what he said or going to honor what he said? It was a struggle to get people to see it, to understand it. So God, here we are, and we're servants. And we're servants in a hostile territory. And it's what it is. It's not going to be anything else. So God, here we are serving, looking to you. And God, we're going to go and look. And thus, in the process, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And if I may, God, what are we going to do? You said wherever you are, we are. We're to be where you are. And God, we received you as our Savior. You've been placed us in the person of your, in yourself, in God, placed us in yourself. And so, God, here we are. So wherever we are. You is. And in the process, God, what do I want to know? I want to know and understand that, God, I'm going to serve as a little child. I'm going to be humbled. That means I'm going to be dependent. An adult warrior, dependent. Think of people that were doing it in Joshua, the people battling the great kings in the land. And they battled them, giants in the land, kings in the land. And they did it. And they did it with a sword. But always with the understanding that God had his sword drawn, as it were, and he fought for them. That's why they could do it. Why can we serve? Because God serves us. We have a wonderful Savior who made it possible for us to know him as a child, as a son, as a servant. Wow. Serve me. It's all about service. All about who I am. All about God, that you may be all in all in all of it. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation, your manner of life, be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Think of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What man will do unto me? No, it won't make any difference. I'm serving. I want to serve the will of your will, your honor, and your glory. That's what I want to do. And in doing so, God, I'm going to go and look to you, knowing, in the process, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Thus, God, I'm looking to you, your good working. I want your will in my life, work, home, school. That's what I want. I'm not interested in anything else. And God, you're going to work in me. You're going to work out your own salvation, Philippians 2:12. With fear and trembling, 4, verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God, I'm going to do, and you're going to work. You're going to enable me to be a good servant, to be able to serve your wonderful will. It's a holy, happy, heavenly will. I want to serve that will. I want your will in my life to be your servant. I want to serve everything that you're after, that I might have all of the benefits. Remember, the kings and rulers wanted to be benefactors, to do good, but they don't. Very, very, very rarely does that ever happen. But for God, who's King of kings and Lord of lords, he is one benefactor. And we are privileged to be beneficiaries of Almighty God, to serve him. And that's the background for Matthew, John chapter 13. And that's why our Lord will go down and pick up a towel and wash their feet. That's a servant's job, to wash the feet. To wash their feet. Remember, their feet got very dirty with the muck and everything, the little sandals. When it was dry, it was heavily thick of dust. when it was wet, it was muddy. So there wasn't nice little clean feet that went to the foot doctor and had them all washed and everything. No, it wasn't like that. No. No. God, I wish I could have done this better for you. It's an awesome thing. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you very much for caring. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for loving us to want the very, very best, even yourself, in our life. It isn't about us, it's about you. It isn't about the world, it's about you, God. It isn't about our health and our wealth, it's about you. To serve and honor you as little children, dependent, wonderfully dependent on your wonderful person. God, where would we be? Where would our sufficiency be without you? We don't have any. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.